Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Shoyano is gifted, talented, and a genius. But what is it like to be his family? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is February 9th, 2013. We're on day three of our People article. You can find it on pages 16, 17, and 18 in your Advanced magazine. And we are talking about this fascinating young man, Shoyano, who is a genius, a humble genius, extremely talented intellectually, but also displays incredible his humility and his personality and kind of he doesn't take for granted his ability, but he doesn't brag about it. He's not arrogant about it, and he's just happy to be pursuing his dream and also working with children, especially what he loves to do, some young patients that have cerebral palsy, which is a great story, and it will continue to be a great story as he continues in his practice. Back for day three of this article are my two panelists, Naomi Beeshibble and Campbell Chong. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Hello there.
Great to have you back. And before we move into today, let me get a thought from yesterday from each one of you.
Well, I enjoyed learning about his trajectory and about the path that he took into getting into medical school and some of the debate that was involved in whether to accept him into medical school. And there's certain concerns about his youth and whether they would be stealing something from him if they allowed him to come and study at such a young age.
Yeah, he certainly had the academic credentials. He had the test scores, all of the stuff that you can quantify, we might say, but the thing is, there's more to it. There's a lot more to it than just high test scores, and
right.
Especially when you're dealing with somebody so young. Do they have the personality, the character to deal with all of this?
Yeah, and you want to know if their personality, if they emotionally they can handle the stress and the pressure and if they're able to socially interact with people who are maybe 10 years older than them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the social interaction aspect is something that we talked about on both days. We learned that when he was younger, going through his initial college degree, there were some people who would make fun of him. They might not have meant to be, mean exactly, but they would sort of laugh about this kid wandering the halls at college. I'm sure it was kind of funny to see him there with his big book bag and, trying to sit there in these classes with people twice his age. But it sounds like they've sort of come a long way from that. However, even in medical school, there were a lot of people kind of wondering, is this kid for real? Can he really do this? Are we sure this is a good idea? And so it seems like Shoyano has kind of had to fight against that his whole life.
Yeah. The word we had in the first day, he was a natural target for wisecracks. That was one of our terms. Some jokes, maybe people kidding him. Just made me think of actually then we refer to a lot of times people that do this. We call them a wise guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a
kind
wise
of like
guy.
Yourself.
Like me. I'm a wise guy. And listeners, that doesn't mean that I'm like full of wisdom. That means I'm just like a real joker and I'm always making comments that are like jokes. So I'm a wise guy.
You do have your wise moments, but
moments. Emphasis on moments. Well,
I do think it's interesting that so many people have an opinion about his life.
Yeah.
And so many people are sitting there on the outside looking in and saying, well, he should do this and this is bad for him and this is good for him and why not this? Why not that? And it's so interesting to me. I think this is something probably every parent struggles with,
right.
Especially when they have any kind of exceptional child,
right.
That people always have an opinion of what they should do.
Right. Even if it's not an exceptional child, everybody, as a parent, I hear all the time, you should do this with her. You should do this with her. And it's just like, thank you. She's my daughter.
Yeah.
She's my daughter.
Yeah. I bet you get a lot of advice from, neighbors, family, friends.
Some reason the Chinese culture and Chinese moms are just all – I mean, it's a very communal culture. Mm-hmm. So everyone is very involved in how you raise your child.
Yeah. Well, we learned about some of the challenges that Sho Yano has faced with his gifts. We learned about some of the challenges that the professors and the authorities at the University of Chicago faced in accepting him, and how do we structure the program for him that he thrives in it. And today we're going to start out by learning about the challenges the family faced. So turn to page 18 and let's have our first reading. We'll go down to line 26.
Family. Whatever slights Yano endured, though, were minor compared with the attacks on his mother, which still sting to this day, he said. The term tiger mom, an ambitious mother demanding laser-like devotion to homework and piano practice, hadn't yet been invented, but that's how Kyung Yano was portrayed. Kyung Yano acknowledged the disapproval. I might say it is bittersweet if I think about all the criticism and accusations I received. But I knew what I was doing with our kids, since my main focus was their well-being and happiness. The Korean immigrant had been studying at Ohio University when she met Katsuro Yano, a Japanese student. They married in 1984 and had Sho in 1990. Even as a first-time parent, she recognized something extraordinary about her son. He had such concentration and curiosity. I'd be talking to someone and holding him in my arms, and I just knew he was following the conversation, she explained.
Okay, we've learned about some of the struggles that Sho Yano has had to deal with, but we get into some of the challenges his family faced.
Right. In the beginning, we see that it says, whatever slights Yano endured, though, were minor compared with the attacks on his mother, which still sting to this day. So here we see the word slight, and that is a synonym for the word we talked about earlier, wisecrack. It's just something that someone does or someone says to criticize or offend someone. So whatever he had to endure, his mother had to endure far worse.
Yeah, sometimes a slight can even be an insult. Mm-hmm. Or you ignore somebody. It can take all forms, usually very negative.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to kind of endure them. You have to put up with them and kind of withstand them, be strong. It sounds like actually Yano is pretty good at that. Mm-hmm. But it still hurts him that people attacked his mother. And this goes back to what we were talking about a little earlier, just that people love to give their opinions on how you should parent your children. And I know that they mean well, and people really do just care. But the problem is they can become very, very critical. And it sounds like they definitely were in this case.
Right.
Yeah. Attacks is the word that we see there in that sentence. Attacks on his mother. These are going to be – it's communications. It's verbal. It's people really either telling you what you should do, criticizing what you're doing, questioning what you're doing. These are – the kind of attacks his mother were suffering. We see that they still sting to this day.
Yeah, sting meaning that it still hurts. Whenever she thinks about the things that people did or said, it hurts her in some ways.
Yeah. All right. Tiger mom.
Well, this term has gotten more publicity in the last couple of years because of a book released by an author called Amy Chow, I believe you pronounce her last name. And she talks about her rules for raising her kids, her daughters, and how she wouldn't allow them to have overnight sleepovers, and they would have to practice a certain amount of piano every day and spend this amount of time on their homework and do supplementary homework and all these very strict rules that she had for them. And in North America, there was a bit of an outcry about this. A lot of people said, that is unreasonable, that is not fair to your children. But some people think that this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Right. A tiger mom is just a mom with high standards, and they mean business, and they don't kid around, and they're just very highly disciplined and very, very strict. And so this is how Sho Yano's mom was being portrayed, that she was being overly strict with Sho.
Yeah, demanding laser-like devotion to homework, meaning focusing on it so much you don't focus on anything else, and piano practice. And so there's this devotion to all of this stuff. Now, when Shoyana was being raised, the term hadn't been invented yet, but...
Right. They didn't call them tiger moms yet. But that idea is how his mother, Kyung-Yano, was portrayed. So in the media, a lot of people said, well, here's this genius child, and here's the mother with the whip standing behind him going, come on, keep studying. It's this idea that she was very harsh with him. And it's something that you often hear about kids who are very talented. Mm-hmm. Again, I think of Mozart, and we hear stories about his father being a little bit overly harsh with him, making him perform when he was tired, things like that. And I think people, maybe they just get nervous that the parents are pushing a child too hard.
Yeah. Well, we see in the next paragraph that she was aware of it.
Yeah, she acknowledged the disapproval. She didn't deny that it was there. And she says that it was a little bittersweet. Bittersweet meaning that it had essences of sadness, but also bits of happiness about it. She thinks about all the criticisms and the accusations she received, and that stings, like we said earlier. But at the same time, she also knew what she was doing with her kids. And since her main focus was their well-being and their happiness, she was able to deal with maybe some of these negative comments that were coming her way.
Okay. Accusations.
When someone accuses you, they're saying that you've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying you have messed up, you have done a bad thing. And I think it's interesting she calls it bittersweet. I wonder if that's partly because looking back, she's able to say, look, he made it. He's successful.
Yeah.
I was right. You know, and maybe she feels justified in pushing him so hard.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that bittersweet word acknowledges, she's acknowledging it was also difficult too.
Right.
It was hard on everybody.
Yeah,
it was hard on him and it was hard on her. But I think she would not change anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She probably would do the same thing.
Right.
Today.
I can imagine that going through it, she was maybe even questioning herself. Because, I mean, I think we'll find out later that Sho was their first child. So it's not like she'd done this before. So she was probably questioning, am I doing the right thing? Am I pushing him too hard? Maybe I should ease back on him. But we see that he's shown.
This other sentence here, but I knew I was doing with our other kids. Or with our kids. So there are other children there too, not just Shoyano. I'd be curious to know a little bit more. I'll have to find out more about it later as far as like their intellect and their pursuits or things like that. And that's a whole different dynamic there, the kid dynamic.
I'm sure it's hard for them, even if they are smart.
So,
well, why can't you be more like your brother?
Oh, my goodness. Well, her main focus was their well-being and happiness. And then we go on in the next paragraph to learn a little bit more about Kyung-Yano.
Well, we learned that Kyung-Yano was a Korean immigrant, meaning that she was born in Korea and immigrated to the United States, and that she had been studying in Ohio University when she met her husband, Katsura Yano, who was a Japanese exchange student there.
Okay, they got married in 1984 and they had Sho in 1990.
Right, and this just reminds me again of how young he is and the fact that he's already a doctor. It's incredible. Even as a first-time parent, so we know that Sho was their first child, their oldest now, she noticed there was something extraordinary. So that word is kind of related to that word exceptional. Something unusual, but it's a positive way to put it. There's something special about this kid.
And what did she notice?
Well, she noticed that he had such concentration and curiosity. She'd be talking to someone and holding him in her arms, and she just knew that he was following the conversation. So concentration is just someone's ability to listen and focus on something. And curiosity is just kind of nature where you want to find out more. You ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this does make me smile a little bit because, honestly, every parent thinks their kid is the most wonderful kid in the world. And I'm glad that they do because it means that they really provide the best for their kids. But you kind of have to wonder, like, okay, sure, you thought so. But it must have been interesting to see how these little gifts started to develop as he grew up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is a beginning we see there. And let's continue with our next reading.
that was just the beginning. When Yano turned out to be too smart for kindergarten, then the gifted school in Santa Monica, California, his mom decided to homeschool him. She'd immerse herself in calculus and microbiology lessons from a correspondence school until there was no more curriculum to teach him. While other children his age were memorizing their multiplication tables, Sho was at community college, earning straight A's. He moved on to Loyola, where he majored in biology with a minor in chemistry.
Okay, we learned some things from Sho Yano's mother and how she had noticed his concentration and curiosity, listening to conversations when she'd be holding him, talking to other adults. And, you know, so this was just the beginning of how the family was beginning to notice his gifts.
Yeah, we find out that later that Yano turned out to be too smart for kindergarten. I mean, how do you measure that? He puts these puzzles together too quickly. He colors these pictures too well.
Actually, my sister had to go through some testing when she was young to see, you know, what is going on with this kid. Is she extra special? Is she super gifted in this field or another?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to learn about. They were trying to decide whether to have her skip a grade or not. But he turned out to be too smart. Now, just to clarify, in North America, usually kids are expected to enter kindergarten somewhere between the ages of 4 and 6. It kind of depends a little bit on when their birthday is and so on. But we can assume he must have been in that age range when they tried him out for kindergarten. But they said, no, this is not working out. He's too smart to be here.
So then they tried him out at the gifted school in Santa Monica, California. This is a school for exceptional students, students who are maybe smarter than the rest. And again, he was too smart for the gifted school.
Whoa.
He was too gifted.
All right, we're running out of options.
Right.
We are running out of options here. What do we do with this kid?
Well, when I first heard that his mom decided to homeschool him, I thought, why on earth would she do that? What a big project to take on, especially for such a smart kid. But when I read that he was too smart for these other options, I thought, well, they must have not known what else to do, actually.
And interesting decision, the decision to homeschool him. And, you know, it's a process that involves the whole family. You know, normally the kid goes off to school, gets, you know, goes to school, and that's it. You're done. This involves the whole family.
Right, but of course, in this case, the other option would have probably been to send him directly to, I don't know, third or fourth grade maybe.
Yeah.
And that would be probably very difficult for him on a social level.
It would have been really difficult.
So it sounds like creating their own system for him was really the best option.
Yeah. And so, okay, here's this young child that is really smart. And then mom had to get smart, too.
Yeah, it sounds like they went even beyond third or fourth grade. She started to take lessons in calculus and microbiology from a correspondence school. Now, correspondence school is just a school that sends you curriculum that you can study at home. And then you send back your tests and papers and then they grade. So it's a correspondence school. Now, again, he's not even 10 at this point, right? I didn't study calculus till I was a senior in high school, like 17 years old, and even then I had a hard time with it.
I'm assuming he's about 6 or 7, and then his mother has to immerse herself in these subjects to become familiar, to teach them these things. And yeah, calculus, same thing, senior, junior year in high school at best. But here he is, 6 or 7, and so she did all of this work until...
Well, while other children his age were memorizing their multiplication tables, so that's probably around 8 years old, 9 years old maybe, he was already starting at community college. So here was another option for him. They could go to the local college. Usually it's a 2-year college where students can kind of prepare for university, take different classes. So they've picked some there, and he was earning straight A's there as well.
So he wasn't only just studying there and doing all right. He was studying there and excelling.
Okay. And this was about what, age 8?
Probably.
Are we guessing?
To then, yeah.
8? Because it says he entered Loyola earlier in the article at age 9, and that's what we see in this last sentence.
Right. So he moved on to Loyola when he was 9 years old, where he majored in biology with a minor in chemistry. Being half the age of the other kids in his program.
Well, I like this sentence at the bottom of that left column, actually, until there was no more curriculum to teach him.
Yeah.
So, and this happened in a very short period of time, I think, within probably a year or two. Mom ran out of stuff to teach him because he was just gobbling it all up too quickly, and she probably couldn't learn it fast enough.
Yeah. Seriously.
Well, and also when you homeschool children, it means that you have to work within the curriculum that's provided. So they have these different levels that you can follow. So they were just racing through these levels, and they got to the end. Well, I guess community college is next.
Essentially, he had reached graduation from high school by age 8, if we're following, you know, a similar track on that.
Right.
So, okay. Well, let's have our last little section for today.
What does the future hold? Yano insists there's no reason to think that his light will shine brighter than any of his classmates. Asking if he has been contacted by NASA or a rarefied think tank trivializes the capabilities of his peers, he said. I'd love to make a great contribution. We'll just have to see where life takes me, but really, I haven't done anything yet.
Bill Quinn here with Naomi Beeshable and Campbell Chong. We are in the final section of our People article, A Humble Genius Becomes a Doctor at Age 21, Show Yano. And we're now on page 18, that last section. What does the future hold?
Well, he insists there's no reason to think that his light will shine brighter than any of his classmates. So he's saying, I just graduated with a group of very talented people. Sure, I'm younger than them, but we're all equally capable. Why would you think I'm more special just because I'm younger?
Okay. He certainly did graduate with talented people. The people there at the University of Chicago Medical School are going to be some of the top students across America and also from around the world. So, yeah, he is around a talented group of people. And then the next sentence is kind of interesting.
So he says, asking if he has been contacted by NASA or a rarefied think tank trivializes the capabilities of his peers. Okay, so let's break that sentence down
a bit. Big one.
Yeah. NASA is the organization that studies space and astronomy, and a rarefied think tank. Rarefied means that it's something that's not ordinary, something that's upper crust or more elite. A think tank is an organization whose work is to study specific problems. So he's saying that if you ask him if these organizations, these special organizations have contacted him, it's kind of making the fact that – it's kind of saying that his classmates are maybe not as special or that they're not as capable.
Right. They're looking at all of them and saying, well, you're so special. You must have gotten a really, really fancy job offer. And he says, well, of course I would love to make a great contribution, but look at all these other people I graduated with. They're smart, too. Don't put them down by pointing me out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. He'd like to make a great contribution. And he's actually, you know, he's kind of wise with that last thing that he says there.
Yeah. He says, I haven't done anything yet. He's just graduated. So, of course, he'd love to do something great and he'd love to add to the medical field, but he hasn't done anything yet. Earlier, we saw the word trivialize. I just wanted to go back to that word. It just means to make something small, make something unimportant. So he doesn't want to make it seem like his classmates' accomplishments in graduating from medical school are not as important as him.
Right. Mm-hmm. We called him humble just at the very beginning of our article, and I think this shows that. Instead of trying to build himself up and put other people down and be arrogant, we can see that he is putting himself, making himself quite small and saying, no, look at all these other people. They're amazing too.
Well, before we wrap up today, let's have our feature. I was just thinking, Kristen.
Yes, Nathan?
Well, it can't be easy standing out or often being the center of attention. It must be very strange for a young child, especially when, say, this isn't a case of performing arts. This is just being the type of learner you are, and now all this notoriety comes along with it.
Yano really did have this trajectory experience when it came to his schooling.
I am sure that Yano had to endure a fair number of wisecracks along his journey. I am imagining that some of them were quite hurtful and definitely unwarranted.
I guess you make fun of something you cannot understand. Or perhaps it is just the green-eyed monster called jealousy coming out.
Yano did have tremendous support from his mother, and I hope he also experienced that from other family members. It does take a lot of dedication to raise a child like this. I think a parent must feel very responsible to foster their child in the right direction.
A rarefied situation this young man finds himself in, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, Kristen, that is a good way of putting it. There are few and far between that are like this outstanding young man.
I am impressed, Nathan, that he is going to use his God-given IQ for the benefit of others. Others' health, that is.
Ah, that must make his mother proud and satisfied.
And I think it has silenced the naysayers in each of their lives.
Now that is sweet. Oh, yeah. That is actually a very unique verb, trivializes, there in line 9 on that right column on page 18. It comes from the noun trivia. And what is trivia?
Meaningless knowledge.
Yeah, it's just unimportant information. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's stuff that you know, but it's not really important. The verb is interesting. Trivializes means to make something unimportant. And that what he is doing is he's actually defending his classmates. He's saying, don't trivialize them. Don't make them less important than me, because we just have to see where life takes me, takes all of us,
right?
Really. And he's accomplished a lot by age 21. But again, let's wait and see the rest of the story, age 40, age 50, right?
It'll be interesting to see where he goes from here and to see if he really does make that accomplishment that he's hoping to make.
Yeah, because some of the greatest discoveries that are ever made by people aren't necessarily made by the geniuses.
Right, and great discoveries are also not the only thing that's important in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember that I really do think everyone is exceptional in some way. Mm-hmm. And so when you find your gift, then it's important to work hard at it just like he has done.
Yeah.
Just because his gift happens to be graduating college at an incredibly young age, it doesn't mean that it's more important than other gifts that people have.
And we all peak at different times in life, so keep that in mind, listeners. Thanks for joining us. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill,
Naomi,
and Campbell
saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.